Everybody, I'm Lacey.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
I don't know why you say it like that.
I was in a good mood. I'm Bailey.
Better? I'm Drew.
I'm Baller.
Next time we should switch.
See if they notice.
Yes.
Ooh.
I'm Drew.
I'm Baller.
Lacey, I already know you have your slides pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
But first,
yeah.
Taylor Swift is coming out with a new album.
Oh, I meant to text you and see if you heard. I assumed that you did by the
time. I was already awake last night when I saw it. It's all good.
She announced it on the
podcast.
Kelsey podcast.
Yeah, New Heights. Another thing, which isn't like super important, doesn't have anything to do with us, but did you see that Cristiano Ronaldo got engaged?
I did.
He's a soccer player, Drew. He's like the
soccer
player.
That's what I thought. And I was trying to, because you said it, and I was like, why is that news?
Okay. Because Google the engagement ring right now.
Gonna make me do work.
Sorry.
Isn't that how, didn't his fiance post it?
She did. And she did like the classic, like, I think she was like in bed or something, but it's her hand and the ring. The ring? Oh my god.
It's huge?
It's not a ring. It's like he gave her just a raw diamond.
That's a Super Bowl ring.
I think it's bigger than our Super Bowl ring.
That's the kind of ring I could never actually wear.
Why are you wearing it in bed?
First of all, I'm not leaving the house with it on my person. Absolutely not.
That's a ring for someone who doesn't do work. Because, I mean, you can't put gloves on if you're working in any kind of medical capacity or cleaning.
That's a ring you keep in the safe like biometric and everything, and then like you like pull out occasionally, like once a year.
Yeah.
But like, oh my god, like I texted Becca and I was like, how is she even gonna like lift her hand?
I feel like a biometric safe would be fun to have. I'm sorry, I'm pivoting.
Well, if we're really gonna pivot, what biometric would you want? Just like you and you
I want to go up to a wall and do boop 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 boop. Oh, you know what? Edna mode. That's what I want to do. It scans me and Edna mode. End guest.
That's what
I would like.
I would want the one from Charlie's Angels 2 with like Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore, where like you have to do like the hand, it measures my head, it measures my eye, like the whole, like no one's getting into that bitch.
Lacey just texted saying that they have one in their house, and I have questions. First one is, why do you think that you can't say it on the podcast?
I don't know.
Okay.
Second question, what do you have in there?
Listeners are gonna go for, well, hold on. What kind? Is it like a fingerprint?
Yeah, it's a fingerprint.
Okay, so now the listeners are gonna go and cut off the hands and get into the safe.
What? Whose fingerprint?
I try not to disclose too much information.
I don't know where she lives.
Well, yeah, and also, to be fair, if I am currently, by not disclosing whose biometrics, I'm putting both of them in danger.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Yeah.
And also, if we really want to go, never mind.
I like the whole thing. I think it's cool.
Okay.
Edna mode.
It would stay Edna, though?
Yeah, that would be the most, like, that would be, like, the biggest trickery thing. It has to be in my voice saying Edna mode.
But you're doing an impression of Edna's character, though.
Exactly. There's so many levels to it.
Because, like, what if
yeah, that's why no one's going to be able to get into it.
You're going to do the same impression each time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I'm going to have in the safe, because I know that you're wondering, is going to be like, like my gym or something.
So it's not really a safe. You're just protecting your treadmill.
No, no. When I'm in there, I feel safe.
So therefore, it's a panic room.
No, I'm not panicking because I feel safe.
No, because you're not panicking because you're safe.
Exactly.
It's an anti-panic room.
Exactly.
Right.
Or a safe.
I feel like it's mostly your gym, and then you might have like some like important stuff in there.
No, I'm thinking that I'm just gonna like get like a bunch of really big beanbag chairs and like comfy stuff and like a TV and video games.
It's turning more into a hidden cave. Room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like that mom during like COVID when she was hiding in her pantry from her kids.
Oh, yes. I'll have that too. It's my safe room. That is basically just a giant walk-in safe.
I like it.
Thank you. Any other...
Did you happen to see what I did this past weekend?
You went somewhere and took photos.
I did.
And you were holding a drink. I think so.
Oh, you were on a bachelorette trip.
I was.
Yeah. And you were dressed as a founding father.
I was.
Where are these pictures?
TikTok.
They were on my
Instagram. On TikTok?
Well, they were on TikTok and they're on my Instagram. So it's Becca, who my best friend is. It's her cousin. He is getting married to his like high school sweetheart, Aaron. It was Aaron's bachelorette. I met her probably like a handful of times. Got an invite to the bachelorette because I bestied so hard. Mm-hmm. And while
these are the ones that I saw.
Oh no. That's from like weekends ago. Here, also I'll send them to you. But during the bachelorette, I got a full invite to the wedding.
Oh wow. Good well job. I guess you were at the bachelorette, so it'd be weird if you
So they wanted to have like planned wedding crashers, so like I was already planning on crashing the reception, which they knew. But yeah, now
I posted these on Instagram.
They were on my story here. I just said but I was Ben Franklin, and there was another girl dressed as Ben Franklin. She was the sluttier version. But oh wow, did we have a ball?
It looked like fun.
Why? What did you do this for?
Just
walk around?
No, it was her Declaration of Independence. It's her last,
I know, but like, did you go to like a theme bar or something, or did you just wander around?
Really?
So we had a trolley tour through Philly that had karaoke. It was BYOB. That like went through most of like Old City and everything. So that's why we did it.
We should do a haunted ghost tour.
Yes. Come to Philly again.
Okay.
I mean, I'm always down. They do haunted trolley tours that are BYOB too.
Let's look into that because, I'm not going to be able to go anywhere in September because I'm working every weekend, but I'm planning on like actually planning specific weekends in October.
Okay.
So,
well, I requested off the weekend we just spoke about in text so Pat and I can come out and trick or treat.
Yay.
Because we're cool, Lacey.
I don't know what's happening.
We were just talking about you guys coming out for like a Halloween party.
Yeah. I don't know if we had settled on like which weekend that was going to be because we weren't sure about like when trick or treat was.
Right. It's not usually a whole week before Halloween.
I know, but I was saying because then we were talking about trick or treat, and then I had said something like, if that doesn't work, we could do it the week before and just make it a costume party. And then nobody likes anything.
Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
You probably don't know because your child is teeny tiny.
Maybe.
As soon as the costumes come out, there's an expectation of trick or treating. So.
That's fair.
Yeah. Unless we wanted to like pretend and have them like walk around the living room and you guys just give them candy. We did that last year. They really liked it. And by we, I mean literally just Lou and I. They just walked back and forth between us. Anyway, what are we talking about today? Now that we've spent 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to tell you guys about murder.
On a true crime podcast? Oh.
Watch my pearls.
Are they clutch?
Oh, she's wearing pearls.
I forgot to split my screen.
My pearls are away, but I'm clutching my collar.
Okay. Are you guys ready?
I mean, we were ready a minute ago.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Can I just say...
she wasn't ready.
Edward looks like he got caught doing something he shouldn't have been, and then the camera just...
Yeah, he for sure looks like when he said, Edward, smile, he was like...
No, he looks like he is possessed by a demon, and he's in a church burning, and he's just like, stay cool. Stay cool. Don't let anyone know how much pain I'm in.
He also looks like he may have just farted in a very close quarter, and is like, I really hope no one smells that.
I was thinking that he farted and he's not sure. He thinks maybe it might be a little.
He's like, after this photo, I gotta excuse myself.
He's like, oh no.
No.
I couldn't find like a zoomed out picture of this picture, but it feels to me like he's lined up with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the idea that he just farted and was like, do they know it's me? Really fits in there with a group.
For everyone listening, go to our Instagram. We'll have this photo posted. So, and you know you what? Write in too. This could be a fun way to see what other people think Edward just did.
Put it on the Instagram.
I have a good number of pictures this time. Don't go through them ahead of time. You'll ruin some stuff. But
I won't. I think it looks like somebody told him that when he smiles, his eyes get really small.
Oh.
And so he's like, don't smile, open my eyes.
You ever see the picture of Jennifer Lawrence at what is it, like Red Sparrow?
Oh, when she's drunk?
Yeah, and she's like trying not to be drunk or trying don't to look drunk. Not drunk.
It's, don't look.
It's giving that.
Yes.
He had a little too much communion wine.
Oh.
Edward.
I don't like that his nose is a different color. Like there's like a weird line.
Shadow?
It's, oh yeah. It's an old picture.
Although I will say that it seems like I have the same thing going on right now.
So we're learning about shadows today.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
All right, so tell us about Edward and Francis.
All right. On September 16th, 1922, Raymond Schneider and Pearl Bomber were out for a morning walk in Somerset County, New Jersey, when they stumbled upon a terrible scene. Two bodies lying dead under a crabapple tree.
Oh, no.
Not a crabapple tree.
Are these the victims? Did we just mock the victims for 3 minutes?
Maybe.
Lacey!
The scene looked staged. The bodies were positioned side by side and torn love letters were scattered between them. The media circus that followed would keep the country's attention for a decade.
Lacey, I swear to God, if these are victims, we're not posting the photo. We're not going to continue mocking the poor man.
Just cut the whole part of that out.
I thought he was a murderer.
Me too.
Well, he still could be.
Is he alive?
Let me tell you about him. I mean, today, no. This story took place in 1922. And okay. Reverend Edward Wheeler Hall was born in 1881. So he's dead no matter what happened to him in 1922. He was born in 1881 and was raised in Brooklyn. After graduating with his theological degree, he moved to Basking Ridge, New Jersey, and later moved to New Brunswick, where he became a priest at St. John the Evangelist Episcopal Church. He married Frances Noel Stevens, who is the lady here on the slide, on July 20th, 1911. I don't know if he married her before or after he landed in New Brunswick. But
if you're a priest, aren't you supposed to be?
That's a Catholic thing.
Oh, what are we again? I'm sorry.
Not everybody. Oh, he, Episcopalian.
Oh.
Presbyterian.
Little bit, a couple steps shy of Catholic.
So, like, chiller. Got it.
Yeah, so he was able to... He got married.
Okay.
Clearly.
It's the collar that was throwing me off.
Yeah. Maybe that's... Maybe that's why he's making that face, because he was like, I got married?
They're going to be so mad when they find out.
Dang it.
Frances was born in 1874 into a very prominent family. Her father's side, the Stevens side, was well known in New York and Jersey for their contributions to engineering, invention, and civic leadership. Her mother's side, the Carpenters with a D, not Carpenters, and Nielsen's, were also wealthy and full of well-known, well-connected figures from Philly to Salem to New Brunswick. Her family, going back to early colonial settlers, had influence spanning banking, railroads, military leadership, and local government. They were the elite, and they were untouchable. They were also related to the Johnsons of Johnson & Johnson. So, Reverend Hall and his wife Frances were millionaires by 1922 standards. Bailey.
I'm sorry, I'm hung up on the fact you said carpenter.
With a D.
Okay, what's that mean?
Oh, it's just their last names.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it wasn't some like secret profession. No,
I was like, is that different?
So the Stevens family was all well known and well connected. The Carpenters were well known and well connected. The Nielsens, just like all of these big, wealthy, elite families all kind of converged in Frances. So she's connected like all these people.
She's also older than him, no?
She's a little bit older, yeah. He was born in 81. She was born at 74. So 7 years older. Yeah.
The little sugar baby situation.
And they got married in 1911, which is not math that I'm willing to do super quickly, but I think she was a little bit older than the average bride age for the time.
You said she was 71? Born in 71?
Born in 74.
Before. She was 37.
Okay. Yeah, so for the time period, you know. And I feel like she was 30. Just like, I'm a wealthy member of a wealthy family. I'm not going to settle for any Joe Schmo. That's my impression of Frances. I never knew her. So she could have actually been a miserable person nobody wanted to marry. I don't know. I just like to give her the benefit of the doubt that she was like, I'm a strong, independent lady. And then Reverend Hall swept her off her feet.
Maybe there was a lot of pressure from her family. She had to wait for her, like, parents to die off or something so she could marry who she wanted.
That could be. Next, I'll tell you about, next slide, Eleanor and James. So Eleanor Reinhardt Mills was born in 1888. Her husband James.
She's very pretty.
She was so pretty. Her husband James was born in 1878. They were active members of Reverend Hall's church. Excuse me. Eleanor was a choir member and James was a sexton, which just means a sexton is a church member who's responsible for care and maintenance of the church.
Oh.
Why is he called that?
I don't know. I don't know. That's what that is. That's a thing. You can Google it.
I don't want to. I feel like a weird thing is going to come up.
James also worked full-time as a janitor at nearby Lord Sterling Elementary School.
He wasn't a sexton at the elementary school?
No, it's only sexy stuff at the church. You can't do sexy stuff at the elementary school.
No.
Not arrested good. For that.
Yeah.
Probably Eleanor not back then.
Eleanor and James had two children, Charlotte and Daniel. The time that our story takes place, Charlotte was 16 years old and Daniel was 12. I don't know what year these two got married, but Charlotte was born in 1906, so I'm willing to bet 1906 or earlier.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably.
So, you've met four characters here. Anybody care to guess who the two bodies were that were found under the crabapple tree on September 16th?
And you said that there was love letters amongst them?
Torn love letters between them.
Oh, no. Oh, this is an affair. There's an affair.
I'm scared that it's the priest and Eleanor, and we still said that many terrible things about him.
No, you know what? Here's what I think. I think that it's James and the wife who's fancy, Frances. Fancy, Francie.
Or...
And we're supposed to be led to believe that the priest did it.
Or...
That's why, because I don't think Lacey would let us mock him so much if he was truly innocent.
Or was it both the women?
Oh. Well, I like my idea better because I don't want Eleanor to be dead because she's pretty.
She's very pretty.
Pretty people die all the time, Drew.
I know, it's so sad.
And who was the priest's wife's name again? I'm sorry.
Fancy Francie.
Okay. She was pretty in her own way as well. Maybe she just took bad photos.
She looked very distinguished. Doesn't she look like she came from a prominent family?
Yeah. Can I say one more thing?
For a while.
Just context clues. This is titled The Hall Mills Murder. So my gut says that it's going to be a Hall and a Mills.
Yeah, so excellent, both women.
Excellent context clues.
Where's deduction. On the slide that she sent me.
You have more information than me. That's not fair.
It's okay. I bet if we stop talking, Lissy will tell us the information.
Yes. Fine. You can actually go to the third slide if you'd like to. Lying in the grass, side by side, with their feet pointing toward the crabapple tree.
Is it the men?
Of Reverend Hall and Eleanor Mills.
Oh no, Eleanor. And Reverend. Also, you let us talk shit about Reverend.
Yeah, I actually kind of forgot
what we were going on
that he was a victim because that picture is so silly. When I put the picture on there, I was like, "Oh, we're gonna make fun of this a little bit."
A little
fun. All good fun, Reverend.
We went on for 3 minutes.
Here's the thing. We were making fun of his like shocked or whatever look. We weren't saying like mean things about him. Just that.
Here's the thing, Lacey. I'm assuming. Based on everything you've told us thus far, it seems like they're in the Northeast area, where we all are. And I don't know. I feel like maybe he might not like the fact that we were making fun of his picture.
But
he died in 1922.
He could be a ghost.
Devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. It was really like you only had like one shot at a good picture because you had to stand there for so long, I think, back then. So like maybe they just ran out of film and they couldn't redo it.
Yeah, maybe.
Here's what I'm gonna say
about it too.
Bailey and I did not know. Lacey knew and let us continue making fun of his picture. So if the ghost is gonna get somebody,
it's me.
Get the one who knew.
But also, for our listeners, we weren't trying to be dicks. We're usually much more sensitive to our victims.
Well, it helps when we're told. Like, hey, don't make fun of the victim.
By the way, the victim is blah, blah, blah.
Certain cases, I would stop you from making fun of the victim.
I just feel some type of way, Lacey.
Okay, but hold on a second. I'd like to defend us.
I'm not. Hacking you.
No. Defend us from the ghost. He's clearly having an affair. So
Ooh, you know, okay.
I was gonna say he's not blameless. That sounds a little mean to like blame him a little bit for his own murder, but like he made
He is a victim in that he was murdered. But he's not a victim in that he had an affair.
He married Frances for the money.
Fancy Francie.
But then fell in love with Eleanor.
And how could you not? She's gorgeous.
I mean,
so this picture here is two police officers lying to like demonstrate the position of the bodies.
I'm so glad you said that.
We were like, is it the two guys? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because I was like, Eleanor's looking kind of manly.
Yeah, and there is one thing that they have wrong here too, which we'll talk about. But this is really just to kind of show the way the bodies were laid out.
Is it that they both have penises?
Well, yes, we can't actually see that in the picture, thankfully. Eleanor.
Somewhere.
The police officer stripped naked and laid down. We gotta be realistic.
He's a method actor.
All right, go ahead, Lacey.
Eleanor was lying on Edward's right side with her left hand touching his right thigh.
Okay, so that's not what this is, right?
Well, the person on the right, their hand is reached out toward, but you can't see because their arm is blocked by the other guy's arm. So this picture, if you will, the one on the right has their arm extended toward the other guy's thigh.
This is the guy on the right, correct?
Yeah. So this would be Eleanor.
Is this the head?
Yeah.
Okay, so here is this guy's hand.
Yeah.
Why is his arm so long?
He was tall. Let me tell you more about Eleanor.
But if this is the head, it's on the shoulder. Whatever.
What? His left arm would be extended out toward his left to Edward's thigh.
This is his left arm.
Other person.
This guy.
Yes. His left arm that we can't see from the angle we're at.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got them confused. Tell me more about Eleanor.
All right. She was wearing a blue dress with red polka dots, black stockings, brown shoes, and her brown silk scarf was wrapped around her throat. Her blue velvet hat was on the ground near her. She had a bruise on her arm and a small cut on her lip. She had been shot in the head 3 times. Under the right eye, above the right temple, and above the right ear. So the bruise on her arm, the little cut on her lip, don't know if they had anything to do with anything or if they were just noted. Her throat had also been slit. The presence of maggots in the wound helped investigators determine that the murder had probably happened the evening of the 14th. So they were found the morning of the 16th, killed the evening of the 14th. Edward's right hand was positioned to touch Eleanor's neck. So her arm was reached out to touch his thigh. His hand was reached out to touch her neck. They had been positioned this way.
Mm-hmm.
His hat was covering his face. So they, in this picture here, his hat is just next to him. His hat was actually laying over his face. He had a small bruise on his ear, scrapes on 2 fingers, and a wound 5 inches below his right kneecap. There was change in his pocket, but his gold watch was missing. He had been shot once above his right ear. The weapon was determined to be a .32 caliber pistol. Edward's calling card was lying at his feet. It's like a business card, basically.
Okay.
Between the bodies were torn up love letters that the two had exchanged. A jurisdiction squabble between Middlesex and Somerset counties immediately complicated the case.
Okay, wait. Are we moving off of the crime scene?
Yes.
Okay. So clearly, somebody, one of the spouses, found the love letters and confronted them and, like, ripped them up in front of them. That's what I'm getting. I'm leaning towards, it seems like there's a lot more rage focused on Eleanor. And so you could argue that that was her husband who did that, because he's so mad at the betrayal, or as is the case, and I think a lot of like affair situations, the person who gets cheated on tends to blame the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be Frances taking it out on the other woman.
Yeah.
Lefty and that we know of?
I don't actually know.
Okay.
Because of the injuries on the right?
Yeah.
They're all shot on the right side.
Mm-hmm. Like, unless she was, like, she was facing away, why would you aim so far over?
I was thinking that she got shot in the face, and then as she was, like, turning with momentum, the hit in the temple and then above the ear. Because it's kind of like a trajectory type, like a...
I mean, or her throat was slit first, and then, like, because whoever was so angry, they shot her in the head 3 times.
But, like, in different spots?
They're not a good shot? I don't know.
She's not moving, though.
I mean, you're not, like, you're thrashing a little bit with your throat slashed.
I think that she was shot and then in a rage, throat was slit.
Mm.
And Lacey did say that she's not sure if, like, the cut lip has anything to do with this. So, because if it was the cut lip, I could see James, like, slapping her. You know how they used to do in those days. And that, like, cut her lip.
Nobody's been slapped recently.
We don't slap people anymore.
But it was more common.
Okay. Yeah.
Backhand in your way.
I'm going to backhand you next time I see you, so we can bring that trend back, I guess.
You're not my husband.
Well, that makes it slightly better.
Now, do you think, moving on, what do you think the significance is in that Reverend Edward was touching her throat? Or, like, reaching out towards her throat. And then she was down towards his leg. Because I was thinking that, oh, he's touching the throat where someone slit it. So she's touching his thigh. Someone was slicing down there. Like, I thought that was the significance. But he's only got, like, a cut below his knee.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you think that's significant?
I think I could see him trying to reach out and, like, maybe, like, cover her wounds, but I wonder if, like, maybe her, like, hand position wasn't purposeful.
Okay. Like, Lacey, were they killed here?
They were killed here. Investigators believe they were positioned, they were staged after they were killed.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell us about the jurisdiction issue.
Wobble.
Squabble.
So the crime scene, which would be nicknamed the Crabapple Tree site, very creative. Actually, in the next picture, there's a picture of the Crabapple Tree.
I've got to see this tree.
Why don't we nickname crime scenes anymore?
Maybe they do, and they just don't tell us. So New Brunswick police arrived first, so Middlesex County. The crime scene was actually in Franklin Township, which was in Somerset County, so those police came as well. This would cause chain of custody issues with evidence because it would take like a couple days for them to figure their shit out and decide who was going to investigate. Plus, while they got there the day of, they started, you know, they're bickering with each other about who the keys belongs to. Spectators showed up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. If you go to the next slide, you'll see the crowd that began to gather.
I bet it's small.
All over the crime scene. Oh. They touched evidence. They picked up Paul's calling card and passed it around.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mess. I mentioned that when the police got there, his gold watch was missing. Pearl said that when she and Raymond found the bodies, he was wearing his watch. So onlookers
were stealing
it. Yeah. Over the next several days, people would come back and strip almost all the bark from the tree for souvenirs. Because people are fucking weird.
There was like one case where like a whole family was murdered and people would come and just take bricks from the house. Weird.
People are so gross.
It's like one thing to like, I mean, I wouldn't visit an active crime scene, but like maybe like years afterwards or whatever.
Like the Lizzie Borden house?
Yeah. Which I've been to. It's one thing to do that, but I feel like once you're starting to like take your own souvenirs.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a little icky.
So, chain of custody issues with evidence and contamination of the crime scene right off the get-go. The investigation was further confused when Raymond Schneider, who had found the bodies, changed his story.
Raymond.
So Raymond, who's 22, said that his friend Clifford Hayes, who's 19, was jealous of Raymond's relationship with Pearl. Do you want to guess how old Pearl was?
How old? 15.
15. Good guess. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So Raymond said that actually, on the evening of September 14th, when the murder happened, he and Cliff had been walking together in the field, and they saw Pearl with a drunken man who they believed to be her father. They followed the two, and suddenly Clifford pulled a gun and fired at them.
Oh, dear.
When they walked over to check the bodies, they discovered it hadn't been Pearl and some drunk guy after all. This story obviously has some holes. Do you see any holes in the story?
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
The guy who found the bodies said that he and his friend were walking by the crabapple tree and they thought they saw Raymond's 15-year-old girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And Clifford has always been jealous of Pearl. So he pulled out a gun and shot Pearl. They saw Pearl hooking up with another man.
No, they saw her and a man they thought was her dad, and they didn't like her dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So naturally, they pull out a gun
and
shot both of them.
Yeah. And then they walked over and they're like, oops, not Pearl and her dad. Let's get out of here. And then on the morning of the 16th, Raymond's like, and then Pearl and I went for a walk and we accidentally discovered these bodies.
So wait, he's saying that he's saying Clifford killed Pearl and her dad. But then the next day he went for a walk. Okay. Here. I was walking through a park with Lacey and I saw Bailey and my dad. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm cool with Bailey, mad at my dad. So I decide, fuck it, shoot them both.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and I go over and we're like, oopsie daisy, not Bailey and my dad. It was Brandon and Pat.
Yeah, except we don't know them. It was just two strangers.
Right. Okay. It was Jenny and Mary.
And also, it would be Lacey in this scenario pulling the trigger.
I know.
You're confusing yourself more.
No, I'm not confused. I'm just, I understand what's happening. It's just, I'm doing an analogy incorrectly. Anyway.
I think the rest of us got Lacey's story fine. I don't know why you're trying to make it harder.
So then Lacey and I are like, oops, today the wrong people. So then the next day, Bailey and I are going through a walk, and we come upon the bodies and report it?
Yes.
Did at that time he say, guess who I thought they were? You.
I thought
he tried to kill you. Okay. There are several holes.
Okay, cool. Tell me the whole.
Nobody had a knife.
Okay, so we doesn't explain Eleanor's throat being cut.
The love letters.
Hold on, Bailey. I figured that one out. They were holding the letters up, and the bullet shot through the letters, shattering them into a million pieces, and it rained down on them like confetti.
When was the last time you shot a piece of paper?
And then another bullet went through her throat. Just nicked it a little. And it made it look like it was splashed. Sweet. I believe them. Let's get Clifford.
All right. I feel like we're all more confused about the case than we were a couple minutes ago.
I'm on top of things.
Are you sure?
I want to know what Clifford has to say. Because clearly, Raymond is just making shit up and accusing him of murder. What?
So, to recap, some problems.
Do we need another one?
Raymond's story. Or that I think it doesn't explain Eleanor's
everything
being cut.
You just said.
I'm not going to cut any of it.
It doesn't explain the fact that the bodies were staged in the positioning that they were in. So, it did hit the news, like the tabloid started posting about how Clifford Hayes is about to be arrested. I said posting. They started writing about Clifford Hayes is about to be arrested for these murders. His buddy, in one of the articles, they said that they were chums.
Ooh.
His buddy Raymond, turn on him, blah, blah, blah. However, it did not take long for the police to get Raymond to admit that he was lying. He wanted to get Clifford in trouble because Clifford was like interfering with his relationship with Pearl, and he was like, you know what, this is a great opportunity to get rid of my buddy, let me just accuse him of murder and he'll be out of my hair.
It doesn't really feel like they're friends.
It doesn't feel like a friendship. No,
I gotta tell you, I can't tell you after that. I can't tell you how many times I've accused Lacey of murder.
She's ruined my life.
I've tried to pin things on her.
We're so glad that you're like between accusations, so you're here to give us this story.
It won't be long now. I think it's been,
yeah,
I mean, I will say, unfortunately, I am just accusing her of any and all things. My plan is to cast a wide net and eventually I'll catch something. So like, I've accused her of the Black Dahlia murder. Ooh. Jack the Ripper, the
mail fraud.
No specific stuff.
Oh, I mean, if you're casting a wide net, you should get everything.
Okay.
So it was obvious that Reverend Hall and Eleanor had been having an affair. And the press went wild over the connection to Frances Stevens Hall and her prominent family.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
James Mills, who was Eleanor's husband, told police he did not know his wife had been having an affair. He had no idea. He was shocked about it. And he said that Reverend Hall had always been kind to him. However, their 16-year-old daughter, Charlotte, told the police that she had known. And I don't know if she knew because, like, her mother confided in her, or if she found her out or what. But she knew. And she had noticed that Mrs. Hall had been noticeably cold toward her mother at church in the last few weeks.
Ooh.
So the initial investigation in 1922 led nowhere. Like, they weren't getting enough evidence to arrest anybody after the Clifford Hayes incident.
Do you think it had anything to do with all the scene contamination?
Maybe.
Oh.
However, the media, the news tabloids, especially the New York Daily Mirror, refused to let the story die. They kept rehashing the story. A scandal involving a minister, a wealthy minister, and a working class woman was already sensational. But when suspicion pointed toward a woman from one of the area's most socially untouchable families, public pressure multiplied. The Daily Mirror went as far as to claim it had conducted its own investigation and had solved the crime, and started printing pieces about how Frances had killed her husband. The pressure from all of this led the governor of New Jersey to order a second investigation in 1926. So it was stayed in the tabloids for 4 years, and the Daily Mirror was like, we solved it.
So the governor said,
you know what, guys? I think we should look into this again.
It's because the newspaper was making them look bad.
In 1926, arrests were made and a couple people were charged with murder. Do you want to guess who was charged with murder? You haven't actually met all of them yet, but James. You met one.
The husband. Is his name James?
His name is James.
Francis.
Right.
Because the tabloids were saying it for a reason.
Plot twist, it was the daughter.
Ooh. I did, honestly, I was like, oh shit, I forgot they had kids. What if it was the daughter?
So, you know, the news was frothing at the mouth over, it would be like, I don't know what the equivalent, some big celebrity family today being involved in something like this.
I was just going to say the Kardashians.
So if a Kardashian's husband and his mistress were found murdered together, and then the media was like, obviously the Kardashian was involved, we already figured it out, and it was like a whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like everybody'd be like, yeah, we did too.
So on trial was Frances, her brothers, Henry and Willie, and her cousin, Henry Carpenter. two Henrys. So the theory is Frances got her brothers and her cousin to kill her husband and his mistress. So, trial begins November 3rd, 1926 at the Somerset County Courthouse.
Does it anywhere say where they came up with these multiple people at this crime scene?
Are they related to the Roosevelts?
Who knows? Doesn't it
look like that? Because he looks like Teddy?
When I found the picture of Willie, I was like, oh, I think that's not actually him. And I had to do a little looking around to make sure that I had the right guy. Because sometimes when you're looking at pictures of people from like older stuff, you find like random things. Yeah.
Also, it's giving Walt Disney a little bit.
It is. I think it's the joy.
Especially in Henry. Wait, there's two Henrys?
Yeah, so Henry Stevens is a brother. Henry Carpenter is a cousin.
Okay, some of us are trying to pay attention while you mansplain situations but make them more complicated.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
So, Henry Carpenter was actually granted a separate trial. So, this trial in 1926 focused on Frances and her brothers. The trial garnered huge national attention.
Well, of course.
This is the next. Yeah, actually, the next slide shows our packed courtroom. Huge national attention, whipped into a frenzy by the family involved, and new physical evidence.
Ooh.
Eleanor's body had been exhumed during the course of the 1926 investigation. And an autopsy revealed that her tongue and vocal cords had been removed after she was killed. I don't know how that was missed the first time. I don't know if they didn't do an autopsy and they're just like, well, obviously they were shot to death. But it didn't come up until they exhumed her body and did an autopsy.
Feels like a direct threat because she sang.
She was
at the church.
Yeah.
Like that was a very personal attack.
Huh. Well, I was thinking that it's like they cut out the rat's tongue. I was like, did she tell somebody something? But I don't think so. Move on.
Yeah, so, the media's already been insane about this case. And this just, like, really got them.
Good.
Super excited. So, Prosecutor Alexander Simpson put forward this position. Frances found out about the affair and had her brothers and cousin kill Edward and Eleanor because she was not going to stand for the disrespect to her family's name and reputation. And she believed she would be above the law because she came from the kind of wealthy, well-known family that often was. That was part of the media's stance was, is justice going to be served or will the rich get away with murder kind of thing. They believed that Henry, brother Henry, was the one who fired the shots. He was a retired exhibition marksman. Now, to be fair, these people weren't shot from a great distance.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like much of a challenge.
Yeah, but it was something that they put forward as, like, he can shoot really well.
Okay. I just like that they're saying, like, five people were involved. And they were like, oh, it was probably Henry. Because he knows how to hold a gun.
Yeah. Now, Henry claimed he was fishing that night, and he had three witnesses who corroborated his testimony.
I thought you were going to say he had three fish. That's proof.
Ooh!
I caught these off the coast of Monaco.
Now, Willie owned a .32 caliber pistol.
See, that would be suspicious. I don't know why. If I was Henry, I'd be like, I don't even own a gun.
But that also, I feel like .32 caliber is popular.
I think Lacey like said it was a .38.
It was a .32. Just that. So, you know, it's like, oh, interesting. But also super circumstantial. However, you might like this. According to the prosecution's fingerprint expert, Willie's fingerprint was found on Edward's calling card.
I imagine a lot of people's were, since they were passing it around.
That was one of the things that the defense experts say. They challenged the identification, pointing to how contamination, poor handling, and the state of the evidence made such a match highly unreliable. Also, fingerprinting itself was not as exact of a science then as it is now. So fingerprinting was often called into question in trials. However, we have a star witness.
Is it Raymond?
Is it no. Clifford? It's a woman.
Pearl.
Jane Gibson.
Who?
Jane Gibson.
One more time.
She owned the property where the bodies were found. Oh, no, go back. Because I wanted you to guess something.
The bed?
I wanted you to guess something first. So the media came up with a super cool nickname for Jane. She was a woman who raised pigs. Do you want to guess what the media nicknamed her?
The pig lady?
Pig woman.
That's cute.
You're so clever.
Isn't it?
So now you can go to the next slide. Her testimony was a spectacle. She was dying of cancer. So they wheeled her in on an iron hospital bed.
That's not cool.
They were like, listen, we really need you. Now, listen.
Question.
They did not have to force her to testify. She was chomping at the bit to be part of the
media.
She
looks like it.
she not, looks... not, like, actively.
Yeah, she looks deceased. What is she a witness to if she's bedridden?
Well, she wasn't then. Remember, the murder was 1922. Trials in 1926.
Also, if I ever get called to testify for anything, I'm going to demand to be in my PJs and a bed. Just wheel me
and
in.
And there is a precedent.
It was allowed.
She claimed that around 9 p.m. on the night of September 14th, her dog began barking loudly. She what went kind outside of dog? And could see a man standing in her cornfield.
Those are the important questions.
She thought that there were thieves coming to rob her pig farm. So she hopped on her mule named Jenny. There's a picture of Jenny on the next slide. And began riding over to approach this thief.
That's a full horse.
This is so Jersey, though.
She hopped on Jenny the mule to check out the thief. As she got closer to him, she could see four people standing near a crabapple tree. She heard gunshots, a woman screaming, "Don't," three times, and the woman screaming, "Henry." At this point, Jane turned her mule back toward her house. She said, "This is none of my business, actually.
They don't seem to be robbing me, so back I go."
And I didn't put this in here. So while she was watching, she heard gunshots, the woman screaming, "Don't," and Henry, and she saw one of the figures fall. Then she turned to go back to her house, and as she was going back, she heard more gunshots.
It's not, you know what? That's none of her business.
Yeah. So she was this big star witness. She was there like, this is how we're going to win the case. The defense attacked her credibility big time.
That's so rude.
Did their best to paint her as an uneducated crazy lady. Not to be in their defense, I think she was. Crucially.
Uneducated or crazy?
Yes.
She's
there were inconsistencies between what she'd initially told police, then what she later told the media, and ultimately what she said at the trial. Her original story had much less detail.
Wow.
And her story now very closely resembled the scenario put forth by the tabloids.
Interesting.
Neighbors went on the stand and testified that she was the biggest liar they'd ever known. I thought that was so funny. Her neighbors were just like, please, I will tell them. She lies all the time. Jane's 76-year-old mother attended the trial every day. She sat in the front row right by Jane's hospital bed and continually muttered, "She's a liar," when Jane was talking.
Such an unsupportive mom.
I feel like Jane's been lying her whole life, and her mom was like, "I am so fucking sick of this."
She's a liar. Liar. Lies.
So, the trial lasted 30 days. What do you think was the outcome of the trial?
Did Jane die?
At some point. Oh. Not guilty. I should have told you not to go to the next slide yet.
Yeah, that's your fault.
All three were acquitted. And Henry Carpenter, the cousin, never actually ended up being tried. I honestly think that after they lost this one, they were like, there's no point in trying to get the cousin now if nobody thinks if the jury doesn't believe
him. Yeah, because, I mean, the whole thing was to get that story.
Doesn't she look like a witch in this picture? Just, I think the hat. I think it's because the hat.
It's a strange shape.
So, after the trial, Frances Hall sued the New York Daily Mirror for defamation.
Yeah.
Other newspapers had covered the trial as well, and extensively, but the Daily Mirror coverage was definitely slanted against Frances. They said she did it. Mm-hmm. They came out and were like, we did our own investigation. Frances killed her husband. Their stories throughout the whole thing leaned heavily on the idea that justice had bent to protect the wealthy. The Daily Mirror settled out of court for an unspecified large sum. Now, before I ask you what you think happened, I need to mention a very random theory. In 1964, so decades later, attorney and activist William Kunstler published a book about the murders. His theory, the KKK did it.
Oh, did we about that?
You may have noticed that these are all white people.
Mm-hmm.
The KKK was active at the time. They were a violent group. They had never killed anybody in Jersey, apparently. And he admitted that his theory didn't have a lot of weight. So I don't know why the fuck he came up with it. I think he just wanted attention.
Just grasping at straws.
Same reason Jane testified in court.
So what do you guys think? Do you think it was just as the prosecution laid it out?
No. It's funny.
I would not be surprised if Frances was the mastermind behind it. I wouldn't even actually be super surprised if her two brothers did it. I think there was like almost zero evidence of it. Like the fact that it went to trial, I think, is insane with the little bit of evidence they had.
They had an eyewitness.
They did. They had their star witness, the pig woman.
They probably got a lot of pressure from the public eye and were like, we need to just try somebody.
Yeah.
Well, because if you look at it this way, you've got one newspaper saying, we figured out who did it, but the police aren't doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And the whole the wealthy can get away with murder thing had everybody up in arms. I don't know why Eleanor's husband, James, wasn't considered a suspect. I'm assuming he must have had a rock solid alibi or something because he never even came up. It was Clifford Hayes for like 2 days. And then attention was on Frances. So she did have the kind of money and connections that I wouldn't be surprised if she was able to pull this off. But I think that there is an absolute lack of evidence anywhere.
What if Frances...
Is this unsolved?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not okay with that.
Oh, did you think I was going to wrap this up for you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not in this house.
I deliberately didn't say unsolved murder in the very beginning, too.
Sorry, baby.
Now I'm just mad at you.
What if Frances and James did it together? Or, like, Frances found out, told James, and then was like, you need to handle this.
That's interesting. I mean, it clearly was affair related.
I feel like, being a girl, I would save love letters. I don't know if a man would.
That's a good point. I think if you're having an affair, saving the love letters is a wild move.
You don't know. It does seem
like something that's a little bit more emotional, like a woman would be more likely to.
Yeah, like a little, you know, like, more attached to them. And yeah.
Lacey, you know what else would be a wild move? Going to a Coldplay concert and like cuddling in front of thousands of people.
That's
crazy. I don't actually know how many people there were, but
yeah, people do crazy things. So.
Yeah, when they're in love,
people are not always smart about their affairs.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do think that it's. There's not enough
evidence to like feel satisfied about a theory, really.
Right. I do think it is significant that Frances's name is so notable. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, she's almost 40, and back then, like, that's old. Mm-hmm.
They never had any kids either, which yeah. would have been. Especially well, for being from a wealthy family, she didn't have anybody to, like...
Because they got married at 37, so...
Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like it wouldn't have looked good for her for an affair to have come out. Mm-hmm.
I was just a working girl.
Also, like... I don't know. I could see her being like, hey, bros, we need to protect the family name.
I think process of elimination just makes her the most likely.
Yeah. And I know that you pointed out that, like, James said he didn't know, but Charlotte was like, I knew. Mm-hmm. I feel like that happens, though. Like, kids are, they pick up on stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, adults think that kids are dumb. So they, like, will say stuff when they're not listening. But when they think they're not listening, or they'll, like, a subtle, like,
stroke. And Charlotte was 16. She was definitely old enough to, you know,
pick up on stuff.
Context clues and, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe she found her mom's love letters.
Oh. That could have been. Yeah. This case set the stage for the sensationalism that we now see in American media coverage of crime trials.
Oh, good.
It kept the attention of the American audience for a decade. It continued well on after the trial because people were so angry that they didn't get convicted. Justice. So it kept the attention of the American audience for a decade until another tragedy would finally turn everyone's eyes away from New Brunswick and toward Hopewell, New Jersey.
What and happened I think in Hopewell?
We're going to learn about Hopewell next week.
Have fun.
Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.
Oh, thank you. Oh, no.
I blew out my candle.
Did you just finger snap yourself?
Yes.
There's someone behind you.